Battle Ready Broadcast, believing what it says.
Hello, thank you for joining us. We're sorry we're just a little bit late getting started.
Like a day and a half.
But you know what? It's okay, because obviously we're up to something and we're just going to do something for the Lord, and sometimes those things happen. We are a little late today because we had some technical difficulties. After yesterday, we had quite a windstorm, so we finally got things working right, and that's okay. We're just going to go with it, right? So we are in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. We might get to chapter 25. I'm hoping that we do. We thank you for joining us. Open up your Bibles, get your pens and paper out. Let's see what God has to say in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and 25. So this is a hard bunch of, this is a hard part of scripture.
You're ready for a really
read.
Disgusting
you.
Jumping off point analogy. It's not really disgusting, but it's just, okay, here's what I'm thinking, okay?
Okay.
So every family has a flavor.
Every family has a
flavor. Tanya tells me, like, if I box up things to take over to her house, because we share a lot of things, that's my friend, Tanya, that she your said, cousin. I can always tell this came from your house because it smells like your house. Hmm. And I said, that worries me a little. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? She says it's a good thing. She assures me that it's a pleasant smell. She said, I always know it's yours. It smells like your house. Every family, though, does have a flavor. Has a, like, if you said, what is our family like? What's it known for? What are we good at? I know that's hard to put you on the spot because I didn't prepare you for that question. But you talk about the Barkus family that we are in. What's our family business? What's our flavor? You know?
I don't know.
I mean, what comes to your mind when you think of our family? I know there's a lot of, I'm thinking right now, if Kathy Russell is watching this, she's laughing because she says a lot of things about the Barkus family that she teases
me
about.
If she was,
married into it.
She would say we
it.
Were stubborn. And,
stubbornness and this kind of thing. And we joke about those kind
loyal
of things. But if you were saying, like, there are certain traits, there are certain characteristics that do travel in a family. You know that family. And when you hear the name, you think of those things, right?
That may not always be a good thing, though, right?
It's not always good. It's not always bad. It just is. Mm-hmm. This is what this family is like, and this is what this family does. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna be very quiet. Just tell me one thing you think of when you think of our family. Our family is like this.
The first thing I think is very. And I don't know if this is where you're going. I really don't know where you're going. But what I think of is we're very family-oriented.
I was going to say the same thing, tight.
We want everybody in the family involved and being a part of. And
but the joke was always, okay, like even just going to dinner with our family. Mm-hmm. We sit with our backs to the wall like Jesse James.
Yeah, because
we are tight.
Because we are.
It is us against the world. Mm-hmm, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
But we're going to band together.
We're going to take care of each other.
And anybody that wants to be in the family.
You can come in the family,
and you can join the group. But it's going to be us, and we're going to defend to the last breath anybody in that
now,
group.
Now, we might fuss at each other.
But we're not going to let
because
anybody else
fuss. That's right, but we're not going to let anybody else fuss.
I would say, if I had to describe my family, I've had to do that at a couple conferences. You know, they're always having to do these hard things you don't want to do. And the two words I use is either tight or loud.
Or both.
Because we're also very loud. And that is what you just touched on, is that we can argue with each other.
It's one of
for
the first
enjoyment
things.
And to the end of the earth, loudly. And nobody be mad.
And nobody's offended and never going to ever speak to anybody again.
And somebody's always going to be talking over the other one just a little bit louder to get their point across. Occasionally throwing
it's
an elbow.
It's one of the first things. Now, I know we're talking and maybe this is way too
this
personal.
Is
but
going.
It's one of the very first things that I learned about the Barkus family when Rick and I were dating. My family, if they were mad at you, they
didn't
were mad at
you
for life and they didn't have anything to do with you. They were done with you. There was always somebody that was kind of on the outs. But in that family, it would amaze me that they would just have terrible, big, or loud arguments. And then in a half hour, what are you going to have for lunch? How's it? What are we going to do
Everybody's
tomorrow?
Just exactly where they started,
And it really was
you're
kind of
exactly
a cultural thing for me to figure out. What?
I have same conflicts in my marriage with Richie. It's not really conflict, but it is an issue. It's like if we get upset and argue about something, he just goes quiet. Mm-hmm. He goes quiet and wants to be alone. But here I am, yip, 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 yip. Like a little dog, man. And I never leave him alone. I just thought, would you go away? But I'm not going to go away until we fix it and we talk and we've had it out and he knows I'm right. So I'm not going to go away until that happens. There's color to every family. There's a flavor to every family. And when we get David, we talked about in the last chapter, preparing all these things for his son Solomon, who is going to be this man of peace. We said symbolizing Christ right in the mm-hmm. picture. Mm-hmm. He's not perfect. He's a sinner. He's a human being. But there's a picture here of God the Father and God the Son and this man of peace. And he's going to build this temple, this permanent place where they can call on the Lord in Jerusalem. And he's getting everything ready. What you notice in 24 and 25, which there are a lot more exciting chapters in the Bible, but there's a really important reason it's here. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's here is this is the family God chose. Mm-hmm. To serve in the temple. He had a reason for choosing them. And David tells you later on in like chapter 27 or 28, mm-hmm. God chose Judah to be the king, to bring mm-hmm. the king through. He chose me as a member of the tribe of Judah to be the king, that he's going to build my throne forever. Mm-hmm. He told me that. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling Solomon that. He gives Solomon that charge.
Yep.
But he said he chose the house of Levi, especially Aaron's house. Mm-hmm. To be those that work in the temple. And this is the family business. Mm-hmm. In a way, in a very small, minuscule way, I relate to that as the daughter of a pastor. Mm-hmm. Right? Because mm-hmm. I don't, obviously it's not a big deal like being a Levite or being a son of Aaron, but our family business has been this church. Mm-hmm. And when I say business, don't be offended and everybody go out and say, she says this is a business or it's all about making money. I mean, what we live for and what we were about is this place. Mm-hmm. My dad, for most of the time that he was a minister, mm-hmm. had two jobs. He had to work to make money to feed his family, mm-hmm. and he was pastor here, and then he was blessed to be able to be full-time, mm-hmm. right? But yes. Even when he worked, this is what we were about.
Mm-hmm. Even when he worked.
Right?
Because we this work is what was, it was never about, an excuse right here. Not to do something that had to be done for church. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's very hard for me, and I know those who know me know that, and those who love me don't always understand it, but it's very hard for me when someone's just too tired or they just can't, because it never was an excuse.
You
got to
be really careful with that. Mm-hmm. We got to be super careful with that, because what they're telling you is real. Mm-hmm. And it's very real to them. But we weren't trained to think that way.
We were not trained to think that way.
I remember being very, very little and thinking this place came before
everything.
It came before your sports, and it came before homework, and it came before... Mm-hmm. Really, this was
it
what...
It did. That's true.
This was the family job. So I could...
And
when
all
it's talking about
it, too. I don't yeah, I don't want to stop
no,
you there, but...
The whole family.
Everybody was involved.
Dad was the pastor.
But all of us
but
had
we were
places.
All in, and this is the wrong word. Don't be... Employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody else had a weekend. That was our busy time. Mm-hmm. Sunday is not the day off. Sunday's the day you serve, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. When we would have holidays, that's not the day off. That's the day it's more important. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you get the gospel out when people are off of work and they're going to be able mm-hmm. at Easter and Christmas mm-hmm. to hear the gospel.
Yep.
That's the big time. I've always said, like, I don't mean to go on and on about
but
us.
That's true.
But this is what I see in this chapter, okay? This is how I connect to it in mm-hmm. my world. Mm-hmm. I would always remember, like, you couldn't relax and enjoy Christmas till the play was over mm-hmm. and the candlelight service was over and the special service to present the gospel
yes.
was over, because you had a job to do.
There were people here
and
that
people
would be
were
here
counting
now
on
that
you.
Would never be
right?
here. Yep. And nobody ever said, I'll do that for you. I mean, you knew that was going to be your role to do.
The
right?
family business.
And I've heard people say,
right?
Oh, well, you know, she knows scripture. Well, she has to. She's a pastor's wife. No.
I was thinking the other day, and this is
to,
not
but
to.
We did.
This is not, it. Nothing about this is glory or honor or praise
no,
to me.
No, I don't.
But I started teaching Sunday school at 13 because somebody didn't show up to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember who it was. Mm-hmm. But somebody didn't show up, and I was downstairs in my class at 13. And they said, well, you know the Bible. Why don't you teach it? I thought, I know the Bible. Why don't I teach it? So I was 13. I didn't know my hind end from a hole in the ground. I started teaching Sunday school at 13. And I've and I'm now 44. And I've never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a break from 31 teaching.
31 years, yeah.
So 31 years, you say, do you know a little bit about the Bible?
I hope
that I've learned something in 31 mm-hmm. years, right? Mm-hmm. That's a long time to be ready to tell somebody else. And that's what God used to teach me,
mm-hmm.
was helping somebody else. And the only reason I say that is because God set apart
here.
This family. And what we have in these two chapters mm-hmm. are how every member of this the tribe of Levi, which we're going to find out, the Kohathites are going to talk about. All the Levites mm-hmm. had a job to do at the temple, mm-hmm. but Aaron's family individually, priests. Very specific they high priest duties mm-hmm. in the temple, but they are all chosen by God. And he would even say, like, everybody else can have an inheritance they pass on. Your inheritance is me. Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
I feel that when God says that to mm-hmm. them, and that's back in the book of Leviticus, he says that your inheritance is me. Mm-hmm.
You don't need the I don't, land or the property.
You don't
or the
have
stuff.
Riches to pass to me. You don't have, mm-hmm. like, one of the little boys that I teach on Tuesday in our homeschool group, bless his heart, already feels God's dealing with him about being a preacher. He's 15 years old. And he said, I feel like God's calling me to do that. And I said, what a wonderful thing. And he said, well, what I worry about is, like, you know, am I going to be able to have enough money to have a family? Am I going to be able to have? And I'm like, you know what? I told him in class, your inheritance is the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that is not something to sneeze at. That's not mm-hmm. less than what your brothers mm-hmm. have.
No, it's not. It's actually
what
more.
A wonderful thing yeah, to have your inheritance be the Lord. I said, it's not all about
how much money you have, how much there prestige is something you have. More. What? But if you think about it, all of that is what the world tells you you need.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If you, nope. you earn that and have that, I congratulate it. You.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I don't have any.
Right? I can
actually. I don't begrudge that.
But what is you know? That inherit? Your inheritance is me.
And I'll
the treasure you have to pass on your kids is this office, mm-hmm. is this calling and this appointment, mm-hmm. right? This is what you pass on to your kids. And in a way, we already see that happening. Just in our little generations that are alive on the earth right now, we see what you and Dad started.
Which is mom and dad.
Kate and I became a part of. Kate still does all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I still do the big mouth stuff.
That's
right?
A good thing.
And then my kids stand up and sing, and her kids stand up and sing, and they are involved in the ministry of the church. Why? Because they're better than everybody else? No, because they show up.
Yeah.
And they are involved
the years,
in the work of the church.
Over the years, that's been the hardest thing to get people to understand. It has nothing to do with being
favorite,
Rick's grandchildren or
more
Debbie's
special.
Grandchildren. It has to be with showing up, being there. You know who I really like showing up right now is Max.
Yeah.
Max has got a goal. Max plays drums.
He's a young kid.
And he does
a
great job,
yep.
right? And you can see him doing better.
And he takes great
time.
Joy.
He does.
In that inheritance of serving the Lord.
Anybody can do it. It's just that you can't say you're going to do it and then halfway do it because that never works.
And right? I guess as we dive into this, the New Testament verse, it is required.
Of a steward that he be found faithful.
Like there's not that many. The list of requirements for service in the house of God are not that lengthy.
No.
And the main one is
because he knows we are but dust, right? He knows we're going to mess it up. He knows we're going to do things wrong, and we're not going to be
ever
made
provision
perfect.
For that.
But he does expect us to be faithful. And I don't, you know, even if you're not quote unquote a Levite or of this family, what you're talking about with the family, your greatest possession to pass on to your children,
the inheritance you have,
still the Lord.
Well, I was going to bring that too later on in the lesson, but I'll go ahead and say that now. The New Testament says, you know, it's not about the Levites now because Christ fulfilled everything in the high priest.
Right.
But you're all priests.
You are.
That you are
your
priests. So guess what your inheritance is? The Lord. The inheritance that you pass to your children, your community, the people around you is Jesus Christ himself. You don't have to be the pastor's kid to get that.
No.
What you're passing on is Christ himself.
And it is just
and
every bit as important as what these guys are doing right here. But I love it that there's high priests. Excuse me. There's priests. There's musicians. There's singers. There are people who watch the gates. There's treasurers. There's all kinds of. I mean, it's not just one person doing everything. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes in our churches today, it has to be one or two people doing everything because they're the faithful ones who show up all the time.
It doesn't
to make
have
sure it gets
to be.
Done.
It just is.
Yeah.
What would be better?
It would
not
be
just
great.
For the people. Not just for the people that are there working now, but for the entire congregation, is if everybody viewed themselves as a priest of the Lord, like the New Testament calls us to be, and knew and what
and
a privilege it is, what a privilege it is that your inheritance is Christ, and that this place.
But we don't always feel that, do
but
we?
But we can. Hopefully, that'll
maybe
inspire
we can that.
Somebody to listen to that and hear that because that is the greatest inheritance we can pass on to anyone, is to know that you have a part in the kingdom of God and that you have a responsibility in it.
And I like what you were told last week. Yes, God loves you. He does. He loves us despite ourselves. But he does call you to do things. And it, you know, if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's one of those Bible verses that just will, should put you over the edge a little bit. If you know to do good and you don't do it, for whatever reason it is, you might have what you think is the best reason in the world. But if you know to do good and you don't do it, it says it's a sin. And that one has smacked me in the face more times than I care to admit, because I can make excuses. Why, I don't want to do what the family always does. I don't want to do this part. I'd rather, I want, I...
But honestly...
But that's
if,
not...
If honestly, when you shake your head and those cobwebs clear, mm-hmm. the greatest thing that's ever happened to you is being part of a family that serves the Lord.
Absolutely.
And I don't think there's a better way to raise kids. I don't think there's a better way to be fulfilled yourself than to know that all these things are secondary. The real reason I'm here is to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And for your kids to see that and be a part of that. Not your kids to be put behind, but your kids to do it with you.
In there together. Yeah. You have to be together. I agree.
So I thought maybe we could read like the first four verses and then talk a little bit. And
so we're in 24.
We're not going to read every one because a lot of these are just lists of how they broke up the jobs, and we'll talk about that. But if we go to chapter 24 in 1 Chronicles and read the first four verses, then
first four verses, verse one of chapter 24, 1 Chronicles. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron: Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Excuse me. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar according to the house of their fathers.
So just to give a little background on this. Aaron is Moses' brother.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is that great deliverer, right, that brings mm-hmm. the children of Israel out of Egypt and into to the edge of the promised land. Aaron is his mouthpiece. That's mm-hmm. what he's called in Scripture. Moses had a speech impediment, we think. At any rate, he
for
said,
whatever
my tongue is slow.
He said, I can't do
it. And I'm not a great speaker. Can Aaron speak for me? And God agreed to that, a little bit angrily agreed to that.
Yeah.
But he chose to have Aaron do that. And then Aaron is chosen by God to be the first high priest. And his mm-hmm. sons with him, to his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge, fearful tragedy when the power of God actually takes the life of these two boys. And if you want to know more about that,
fire,
you read Leviticus
right?
chapter 10, and I looked into that strange fire just a little bit. So they'd actually not even been given the law concerning how the fire in the temple should be kindled and kept.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you think, well, how could God require
because.
Their lives when he hadn't even given the rules yet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I looked at it, I'm like, you know, is God being unfair? Is he being irrational? What's happening with this? I, not that I think God is those things, but I know that that's the question you might have, and that's what people might think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's all right.
Is God
search.
Just being petty because he hadn't even given yeah. them the rules yet? And what I'd read and what I'd found out about that when I did my research is that by them bringing, and it's strange fire is a word, but they offered incense that they set on fire according to their own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
They said to themselves, okay, we're going to do this our way. It was the mm-hmm. call of my own way. I'm not going to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to wait his instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely what they offered was what they'd seen in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
what they'd seen done. This is what the high priest did.
Mm-hmm.
I already know how to do this. I'm not going to wait on the instructions that God's given Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He picked us. We're going to do it our way.
We're going to do it.
Right?
Sound familiar?
And what the cost of that is?
Death.
Death, because you come any other way but the way God said you must come, which, by the way, is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to come to God any other way, the New Testament says it's the same as a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
That you're an uninvited guest. That's not the way it works. God has extended salvation to everyone everywhere, mm-hmm. but you will do it his way. And there is one way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And for them, the presumption is, we already know how to do this. The presumption is we already are familiar with the God mm-hmm. that rules this place.
So,
but the truth is they weren't.
They weren't. No.
And these two are removed immediately because right from the start, God says, if you're going to have a relationship with me, it's going to be my way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the first two sons of Aaron are removed. Eleazar and Ithamar are the sons that remain mm-hmm. and are made a high priest, and you get the... In Leviticus, you get to see the ceremony where the oil is poured on Aaron, and the whole, mm-hmm. which represents the Holy Spirit, and the garments these boys wore as they served in the temple. I don't mean to go on about these
you're
four
perfect.
Verses.
That's perfect.
But in what he tells you in those four verses is there are two men. Eleazar's direct descendant is Zadok.
Mm-hmm.
That side of the family had 16 chief men in
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
The one chosen by David
mm-hmm.
is Zadok.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about him all through... Mm-hmm. Second Chronicles, you hear about him.
Second Kings.
In Kings, he's a big deal. He's someone who speaks for the Lord. He's mm-hmm. a very faithful servant of God. And Ithamar's direct descendant is Ahimelech, also mm-hmm. a name that's all over those stories
mm-hmm.
of the beginning of Israel. Faithful man of God, mm-hmm. faithful spokesperson of God. Those two high priests are like in charge of what's going to go on inside the temple.
Mm-hmm.
One is the governor of the sanctuary. And by the sanctuary, I know this is a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. I want to make the point.
I've just
that
doing,
some point,
done
though,
a little bit of research to say, what is he doing here?
At one point,
yeah.
I want to make the point, though, that this is always the cardinal sin.
Yeah.
This is always
the cult of my own
the
way.
The problem
right?
with mankind and God is I'll do it the way I think it's right. Well, it doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not doing it that way.
Yeah.
I'll do that is from beginning to end the cardinal sin of humanity
and not having the humility to wait on the Lord,
right? And
what does he say, or
do what he said. I mean, I know we started off this with the kind of flavor of a family. You set that tone for your children.
Yeah, you do.
Are you going to do what God said?
Your kids will say, but that's not the way anybody else does it.
Mm-hmm, right.
Your kids will say, none of my friends' parents expect that out of me.
Right. We didn't even let you.
I've heard that a lot.
And I know this
I'm not trying to use any names.
No, but
when I go to my friend's house, they never expect me to do that. But you always expect me to do that.
Yes.
You know, yeah, because I'm not their parent.
Right.
Right? You know that line.
Yes.
You've said that to your kids. Everybody said that to their kids.
If you jumped off
your
bridge,
parent,
would
right?
you? Yeah, what would you
I'm
do?
Not responsible for them.
No.
I'm responsible for you.
But
yeah.
The cardinal, if you're having a thought, right now even, and that thought is, well, I just don't see it that way. I'm going to do it. You better stop, because that's the number one. That's the thing that God is always angry at. He is always, he'll tolerate it, and then there's...
Because he's made a way.
Yeah, he's
because what it basically
problem.
Is you versus Christ.
Yeah. And it's going to be
and
Christ.
And that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Who's right, you or Christ?
Christ.
And God's way is always going to be Christ. It's mm-hmm. always him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's singular.
And
our way
it.
Is always plural.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always, you know, it's always like however you want to be, whatever you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work.
We'll just buy pink
right?
chains.
Right?
I love that line this morning. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's
so,
okay.
So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, but okay, now we got.
So we've got these two men, and one, the first one, Eleazar, is the governor of the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
in charge of the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
The sanctuary is just a set apart holy place. All these things mean things.
They do. They all
right?
mean things.
And the Ithamar is the governor of the house of God. So the temple as a whole, inside
mm-hmm.
the temple. Later on, you're going to find out that the Kohathites, the ones
mm-hmm.
that come on later that are just sons of Levi, they're in charge of the outside of the temple,
mm-hmm.
the temple grounds and
mm-hmm.
guarding it from
mm-hmm.
intruders and people that would come in and defile it.
Mm-hmm.
They're porters and all these things.
Watching it.
But
all.
These two, specifically, the most holy place and the
holy
inside of the temple, what they're in charge of. And then what you see in from verse 5 into the continuing of the chapter until you get to verse 20 when it talks about the Kohathites, but what you see is 24 orders.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so it would be 2 months
mm-hmm.
apiece that you serve. So somebody in this family of these two priests, you wouldn't be a priest serving at the temple all the time. you'd be a priest serving in the temple for these 2 months, mm-hmm. and then for a 2-year period, right, it would roll back around again. Mm-hmm. Why do I mention that? Why do you even care? Well, I'm going to tell you why you care, mm-hmm. okay? So when we get into chapter 25 and we get into the end part of chapter 24, you find out that he talks about the skilled musicians, mm-hmm. and he talks about the students. Mm-hmm. He talks about the great ones, and he talks about the average ones. And what is amazing is there are no professional worshipers.
Mm-mm. No, that's true.
There are no professional priests. Mm-mm. What there are is a bunch of men dedicated, one family, mm-hmm. to the service of God. And you don't just go when the guy you like is speaking.
No.
And you don't go when the guy with the great harp is playing.
No. No.
Everybody worships.
And you're continually
not
learning.
Everybody. This family chosen, one family chosen, mm-hmm. but they took a turn. They took a
by
lot.
Order.
Mm-hmm. They drew lots to see who go what order. And they went in order, but it wasn't. And the only reason I say that, it does talk about playing with skill and with cunning, which means extreme skill. Mm-hmm. But what it says is, it wasn't about the fan base of the musicians, because you're not there about the musicians. And it's not about the fan base of the speaker or the mm-hmm. priest performing his duties, because that's not why you were there. This was all about the worship of God himself mm-hmm. in the way that God asked to be worshiped. Mm-hmm. In yes. honor and reverence of him. And so regardless of how you felt about whose turn it was, mm-hmm. right? That was irrelevant. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And while you weren't, right? when it wasn't your lot or when it wasn't your time to do your job, you were still teaching others and learning more yourself.
In chapter 25, you're going to find out, especially three top men, mm-hmm. but there were some, I believe probably, and this is my opinion, but it's not just my opinion. It is mm-hmm. very backed up by mm-hmm. history and scholarly people opinion. I didn't come to it on my own. These are some of the most skilled and amazing mm-hmm. musicians and songwriters in the history of the world, if mm-hmm. not the.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The book of Psalms is written by these men named in these chapters.
Yes.
You have David, you're going to read in a few verses,
Moses,
and I'll let
Solomon,
you read them, but you have Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. Mm-hmm. These three, and if you go through the book of Psalms, you're going to see Asaph everywhere. You're going to see David everywhere because he wrote himself. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see Jeduthun. What's interesting about him is they'll say, David and Asaph wrote this song and gave it to Jeduthun. In other mm-hmm. words, he was of such skill mm-hmm. and such ability. Mm-hmm. And what you find out in these verses is, they don't use this word, but I'm using the word to tell you what it is. He's the choir leader, mm-hmm. and he's the orchestra leader. Mm-hmm. He's got the musicians doing what the musicians do, and
he's
the vocalists
singers.
Doing what the vocalists do. But here's the part. It's not about them.
At all. At all.
The entire thing is about, okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself.
No, go ahead.
And what
You're
I'm reading.
Fine.
But I wrote down, okay, we have the songbook they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
We have the songs they wrote. And
mm-hmm.
I want to look at some of the ones they wrote.
Okay.
But I wrote down like, okay, so if you're going to sing a song in the temple, what kind of songs do they have? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down, what do they do? What type of songs
so
did you write
so
and why
do
you think it's important?
So are we going to go to those songs?
Well, I'm going to show you some examples, but and there's my grocery list. I'm going to show you the different types that there were, which I think is very interesting. If
so
you
give
if
me
you want
song.
To do this
yes,
with me.
Yes, I want to do that.
Okay.
So go, what psalm are we going to?
Well, I will, in just a minute, let me give you the types, okay? The first, these are, according to scholars, these are the groups they put them in.
Mm-hmm.
There's what's called a royal psalm. And in a royal psalm, a lot of these were written by David.
Mm-hmm,
and
he's
I'm
the
not
king.
Making that a joke, because it really talks about God using the king.
Yeah.
But it kind of, a royal psalm says God accomplishes his will through the man he's chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not really about giving a bunch of glory and honor to David.
Mm-mm.
It's the descendant of David that gives glory and honor to. God will do his will and accomplish his will through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. David is just that mm-hmm. example, that type. But a royal psalm says God chooses the man that he's going to use to accomplish his will. Then there are laments, and you know you've read those in the mm-hmm. Psalms, where it's a deep examination into suffering and pleas from God's people to relieve that suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and this
show
is what,
me what you're doing
so
or take it away.
So this is what happens. So the Psalms mm-hmm. are written with humanity so I'm going to say this wrong, but humanity in mind, right?
You know what? They are to God, but they are for us.
And yes, because God understands right? already what our frame is, but sure. sometimes we need to see it to recognize
isn't that
ourselves.
Isn't that exactly what praise is? When praise is right in a church, mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's a mirror held up. Mm-hmm. It shows you who you are, and then it reflects who God is to you. So you're hearing these things and you're like, I know that I have, now I'm aware of that need. I'm aware of that hole. I'm aware mm-hmm. of that issue. You're connecting with me. And now I'm aware of the answer, mm-hmm. right? It is to God and his praise and glory, but it is for me.
There have been right? times, I'm sure everybody who's listening has read the Psalms and you've thought, wow, David has such a heart for God. Or one time you'll read it and say, gee, he complains a lot. Mm-hmm. He's depressed a lot, right? Because that's what they are doing. It's reality. Mm-hmm. I can't get across what I want to say.
It is reality.
But when you read it.
On a whole other level.
It's
like, a reality. Someone can put it to music and it goes right past mm-hmm. my logical brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it hits me in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you know
and
that.
And makes me admit to things that I've been denying and face up to things that I need help with.
Well, I'm thinking about this one. I'm just looking at one in Psalm 3. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?
And it was okay to say that.
What? Yeah.
It was okay to say that at the temple.
Maybe that's the point.
Not to just go to the temple and say, everything's great.
Thank
everything's
you God,
wonderful.
All's good.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm having a really hard time.
And there's a whole bunch of people out there.
They're
to
called
get
laments.
Me.
Uh-huh.
They're
right?
called laments.
They're called laments. Mm-hmm. And they were appropriate to be sung.
And I will
at the
say
temple.
This, though. I think I was surprised when I think it's Rick Warren, and I don't mean to use him in any kind of bad way. I read some of his stuff, but he wrote a book, and one of the ladies who read it said to me, "You know, I never thought about telling God when I was upset," because in the book he says what we're trying not very well to say here, or at least me, I'm not saying it very well, is I can tell him everything. I can say when I'm truly frustrated.
But
and
when's
bored
the last
down.
Time you've heard that song in church?
You don't hear it.
I am wrecked.
But you don't hear it because the church would rather focus on the good things.
And
but,
it's good to focus on the goodness of
but
God.
But the truth
but
is,
you can pour it all
the truth
out.
Is, though, everybody sitting in your church is not having a goodness day. Sometimes they're overwhelmed and they don't understand, why am I overwhelmed? Why is Laura doing so well and all I do is nothing's gone right. My money's gone. I don't have, you know, what. David and his writers put reality in Psalms.
Go a little, put your foot in deeper. The next category I'm going to tell you is not just I'm having a bad day. People are going to have a lot of trouble with these. These are called imprecatory Psalms.
Ooh.
And an imprecatory Psalm means get him.
Okay.
It means that guy, Lord,
get
has
him.
Done terrible things to me. Destroy him. Mm-hmm. Destroy my enemies. Destroy the enemies of God. Do you know you're allowed to go to God and say, that guy really deserves, because guess what? Who can handle that?
God. He's not going to do it just because
He's
you said
not going to do anything, and he might
but
bring
he might,
judgment
right?
on the enemies
but
of God's
won't
people.
Be so just because
it
you
won't
said
because
it.
I said it, but God can listen to I've what heard, I feel about that without shivering.
And we should be able to tell him.
Without panicking.
Here's the thing. We should be able to tell him how we feel about it because he already knows.
They do both things. They ask for judgment on those that are, and this isn't somebody hurt my feelings.
No.
These are the enemies of God and the enemies of our lives that are really trying to destroy you. It's okay to say, God, will you just take care of that?
Take care of that.
I'm not going to take revenge against them. I'm not going to attack them. You take care of that situation mm-hmm. for me. And you know what? It's okay yeah. to say that to God.
Mm-hmm. I have,
and he'll do what's right.
I have heard people say that they won't pray for certain people because if they do, it seems like something always happens. They get sick or something. So they just don't pray for them because God is not going to.
You're looking at him like a rabbit's foot.
Yeah,
and God
and
is wise enough
way.
To do exactly
right.
what's
he
right.
He knows what needs to be done.
They're judgment. They're also deliverance. Get me out of this horrible situation.
Yes. I use that one a lot.
The next type is called a psalm of thanksgiving. It's obvious in its meaning. We don't have to go explain that, do we?
Mm-mm.
Thank you, God, for. Right? And we're going to sing our thanks to God. And they made a different category. I thought this was interesting because it kind of seems like they'd be the same category
mm-hmm.
for praise.
Mm-hmm.
One is thank you, God, for, and the other one is God, you are. just dwelling on who he is. That praise part mm-hmm. is just saying out loud all the things that you can think of that God is, and reminding yourself, because he already knows what he is, mm-hmm. but you're reminding yourself who God is and what he's able to do and what his character is. And you know what? I need reminded.
Mm-hmm. I do.
The last one, I'm kind of a nerd. I love. Okay? And I want more songs like this. Okay, the nerd in me got so excited when I looked up this word. It's called a maskil. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. A maskil is a song that is to make you intelligent, to make you enlightened, and to give you instruction. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a maskil is David or Asaph or Heman or any of these musicians saying, here's what I learned, so you don't have to make the same mistake.
Sorry.
Learn from me, right? And then you can skip on past this one because you can be enlightened and intelligent about the ways of God. I want more songs that teach.
Isn't that what we try to do with our children?
I want that.
I mean, I have heard you say that so many times about your children. You try so hard to tell them what you've already found out from your own personal experience.
Sometimes they'll listen.
And sometimes
they don't. Here's one. Ready?
Yeah, where are we
going? Psalm 32 is a maskil.
So let's go to Psalm 32.
And I am probably butchering that because it's a Hebrew word. And it even says on top of it, a Psalm of David, mm-hmm. maskil.
Yep,
right?
M-A-S-C-H-I-L.
Now, here's what he figured out. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord impugneth not iniquity. Iniquity is willful sin, or not. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing. And in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, David said, here's what I learned. Okay, I sinned, and when I was quiet about it, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Mm-hmm. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I hid not. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He's like, I was so miserable. As long as I kept it inside and wouldn't admit it. And I found out that when I admitted it to the Lord, he forgave it and took it away. He said, and I didn't have to be miserable.
And don't leave out the Selahs, because that means
I do leave them out because that just means to pause. I don't, people do differently. I don't read them. I try to stop.
But stop.
Because they mean stop and think about what I said. Mm-hmm. There was a time I was quiet and I was mm-hmm. physically ill. Mm-hmm. And then there was when I went to God with confession and forgiveness came. Verse 6, for this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. In other words, you're all invited to pray this. I'm going to instruct you now on how you ought to pray when you're in trouble and you've done wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Mm-hmm. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or the mule, mm-hmm. which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near thee.
Don't make us have to make you go this way.
Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. How do you get upright in heart? Tell him about it.
Yeah, don't hide it in secret.
Tell him about it.
Yep.
Because the secret, he said, here's going to make you really smart, intelligent, enlightened. Run to him, not away from him. Mm-hmm. Run straight to the Lord and say, mm-hmm. I did it. Mm-hmm. And he forgives you and becomes your hiding place, your defense. Right?
Yep.
He'll
yep.
forgive. That's a good song.
That's a good song.
I like that song. Mm-hmm. We don't even talk about sin in church anymore. Someone mm-hmm. just told me that last week. Mm-hmm. We don't mention sin anymore. That's not a popular thing to say or discuss. But you know what I need help with? How to deal with sin.
Mm-hmm.
How to go to God with it and get relief from it mm-hmm. and forgiveness for it and mm-hmm. to find my hiding place in Christ.
How to deal with the next time.
Right?
Right.
I need songs of instruction. So mm-hmm. That's
a good one.
Something I
so
wanted to say.
So what else did you have?
Well, Asaph, I thought, well, let's read these guys that are in this chapter, because this is a list of names of people mm-hmm. doing jobs, mm-hmm. okay? So Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, those are the main three with David who composed the songbook. But all these priests are in charge of performing this music that are listed in chapter 25.
And I'm betting
they're in charge. They're playing instruments. What I thought was neat, and I'm not doing anything in order. It says they prophesied with the harp.
Mm-hmm.
They prophesied with their song. You know what prophesy means? Everybody says prophecy is just telling what's going to happen in the future, and sometimes it is. But a prophecy, what the very definition of that word is, they speak God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know you could speak God's word with an instrument?
And in your song, yep.
And I hear, turn this off now if you don't want to hear me brag on my kid.
Okay,
I'm okay with it. Turn it on later if you want to. But here's the thing. We were at a piano recital one time. Do you remember this? We were sitting at a piano recital, and we were enjoying all the kids playing, from the little babies to the big ones. There were so many kids. And Olivia was like getting ready to graduate high school, and she chose Amazing Grace. And she went up, nobody's singing. Everybody's been playing like the old Grey Goose Is Dead and the Maple Leaf Rag, and everything is fine. Everything's all good. We're sitting there enjoying the
and
music. All the children did well. I'm not dogging anybody else's children. Stop. So she gets up and she plays Amazing Grace, and she doesn't play Amazing Grace. She plays Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And she pours into it. There were people crying.
Mm-hmm.
There are people raising their hand that were in her God. This isn't a church. Recital. This is a piano recital. Mm-hmm. Came up to her after, I felt the Holy Spirit in your music. Said to her,
mm-hmm.
And you did. Because when she praised him, she prophesied through with that music. Piano.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says you can. It says they prophesied mm-hmm. with the harp. They prophesied mm-hmm. with music. They spoke the word of God
mm-hmm.
with their talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you've heard somebody do that, I'm not talking about how great they are, which I hope they're great. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that's behind the great.
That's using
that,
what they're
doing. That fills you up to the top when you just hear it and you think, oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just good because mm-hmm. it plays good. That's good because that's full of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's full of mm-hmm. His word.
That's what it is.
And His talent being on, you know what I'm talking
about.
I
absolutely know what
okay?
you're talking about.
So we have one from Asaph, Psalm 77. Is just, you could have picked a bunch of them. I probably picked the wrong one. I don't know that there is a wrong one. But read a little bit of Asaph. You have your choice right there. You have 77, which it says he gave to Jeduthun, the one that's named in this chapter. He says, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. He's the chief musician. He's mm-hmm. extra good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a psalm of Asaph. Or right beside it is a maskil of Asaph. Mm-hmm. Another one like we read that was just a teaching. Let me instruct you in something, mm-hmm. but it's very long. So you probably ought to stick to 77.
And then 79 is a psalm of Asaph. And I'm guessing that most people are kind of like me. I don't always go up to the top to see what the psalm is about. I just read the words.
I like to see what it's about.
But now that we know that there's a way to see what it's about, that even makes it even better,
There are a bunch of words that if like they're at the top of the page and you look up what those words mean, it'll give you a lot of insight and a lot of depth into what this was written for. There's one that'll be like Nagaioth. I can't say it. It's Hebrew, but it's Nagioth something. And that's for a special, that was the song you sang by degrees, walking up the steps of the temple. Mm-hmm. Always makes me think of my grandpa, because I can remember him saying, now they didn't go to the temple in Jerusalem, but he talks about when he was a little boy going to church, that they started at his house walking,
because his was the farthest one out,
and his was the farthest one out, and as they walked, neighbors joined them walking to church, and he said they were already singing and shouting and praising the Lord,
before
tears flowing,
ever got there.
Before you get to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what a Nagioth mm-hmm. psalm is. As they were coming up the temple steps,
mm-hmm.
this was
mm-hmm.
being sung, and it was just like, woo, before we even get to the door.
Can you imagine?
How good is God? How great is God? How powerful? How mighty?
Mm-hmm.
And when you read that, knowing that's what they're doing, and you see that in your mind's eye, as you read that psalm, it has a whole different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It has a whole different
mm-hmm.
color in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm rambling.
True. No, you're not rambling.
Are you with
I'm
me?
Just thinking about what you're saying. Yes.
Okay, so this one, just read a little bit and hear.
I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, and sore ran in the night. I'm sorry. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. He's not having a very good time, is he? He's kind of talking about how hard this is. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak.
Have you ever been so troubled you cannot speak?
I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? If you haven't felt that, you're not really being honest, because we've all felt that way, right?
Where'd you go?
Why aren't you answering me?
This seems like an obvious answer, Lord. Why am I not getting the obvious answer to my prayer? Yeah, that's as current as right this minute.
Right, it is. That's true.
That's what we feel as human beings sometimes when we're looking for God, and we really do love him, but we're out of step with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is his mercy, verse 8, clear gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Haven't we? I could almost tell you the last time I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And then it says,
Is this because he's angry at me?
And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old.
I just want to stop and say, I don't want to interrupt because it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to stop and say, that's why we come to church.
Mm-hmm.
We come to church because when I'm having a day like that, I need you to remind me what happened when Elijah faced those prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to remind me what God does when you are at the banks of the Red Sea and Egypt's behind you.
Amen.
And I have nowhere to go, that God says, hold out thy staff, Moses. And the water parts, and I walk on dry land. I need to know what it's like to pick up 5 smooth stones out of the brook
and
face a giant that's terrifying the armies of Israel, and know that I don't come to you with a spear or a sword. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go to church and remember how faithful God was in days of old.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me, because he's the same God.
He didn't change.
He did not change. I feel change.
Mm-hmm.
I feel abandoned, just like Asaph did sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But God's the same God. And when he goes on, and I'm going to let you read it, I'm going to get out of the way. But as you go on and read the psalm, you end with, just like you did Moses and Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Take care of us.
You know, I know that Moses and Aaron didn't always feel like everything was going great.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll do with me just like you did Moses and Aaron. We're not the same, but God, you're the same.
And I will remember thy wonders of old. Verse 12 of Psalm 77. I will meditate also of all thy work. And what are you going to talk about? I'm going to talk
what
of thy doings.
What
not
you
mine,
do, Lord.
Not mine, but what God does. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Who? Is there any other one?
You know what?
This
is the question I find myself asking all the time. Do you have a better way? Do you have something that's working better for you than trust in the Lord? Because I've never found anything like him. He makes a way when there absolutely is not one.
Mm-hmm.
So what better idea have you come up with?
And who? Who is so great as a God? Who is there? One of my favorite verses is he'll say, there is none else. I'm God. There is none else. So anything else you're using, there is
Peter,
anything
who do
else.
You say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
You are Christ, the Son of the
living
God.
God.
Where else do we go, he says, right?
Mm-hmm. Where could we go?
Where can we go?
Mm-hmm.
You've got this.
Verse 14, thou art the God that does wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And it tells you to pause for a minute. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. And the depths were troubled.
And the waters he's talking about here is that Red Sea. Because he's talking about crossing the Red Sea on dry land.
The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. And the lightnings lightened the world. And the earth trembled and shook.
Thy way is in the sea. It's hidden from me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Thy way is in the sea.
Thy way is in the sea.
And thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
I love that imagery of sometimes, Lord, you have a way, but it's invisible to me until the waters part, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm right up to the edge, and I can't see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, You lead me just like Moses.
So we have kind of a lament and mm-hmm. kind of a praise, mm-hmm. and then 78 turns into an instruction.
An instruction. You want to read one by Heman, or are you done with
me? No, let's do Heman.
Heman is Psalm 88, to give you an example. And maybe you haven't noticed that old He-Man was in here.
But I have.
What I like about Heman is later on in chapter 25, where we are in Chronicles, it talks about Heman and his sons. Mm-hmm. And it says, like, what great and mighty musicians the mm-hmm. whole family was. Mm-hmm. Have you seen families like that?
I have.
Where they're dripping with talent. It just seems like everybody knows how to sing. Everybody knows how to play an mm-hmm. instrument. They're just, and that's what it says about he and his sons. Like, what a special thing it was when it was their turn to come into the sanctuary and praise because of how skilled they were. Mm-hmm. Here's one that he wrote, this man.
A song or psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician,
upon Mahalath Leonoth. You'll look it up later.
Maskell it's a teaching of one. Heman, the Ezrahite.
Yeah.
Verse 88, verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deep. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. And then we pause. Mm-hmm. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. And I am shut up. I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and my righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die. From my youth up, while I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about like compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness.
Okay, sounds pretty bad, doesn't it?
It does.
There's a reason I picked pretty bad.
It does pretty sound pretty
Where
mournful.
Where are you singing this song?
To the sons of Korah in the temple.
In the temple. Okay. He doesn't just say he's got a problem. He said, I'm dead. Mm-hmm. And my problem is so bad that it's death. Mm-hmm. My sin is so bad, it's an abomination. Mm-hmm. My friends can't help me. My family can't help me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in me that I can do to fix this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. I can do
Why would you sing that going into the temple? Because there mm-hmm. is a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you sing this song?
That follows
there's
it.
Absolutely nothing of myself that can help me in this situation. But I'm going to the temple where the blood of the Lamb is going to be carried by my brother, the high priest, by my mm-hmm. into the Holy of Holies to be offered. Only God.
You're the only one.
My prayer, he says, is only to you, God. God, it's just, I cried, O Lord. Right? Because I don't have any way out.
Except you.
But you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a maskell.
Mm-hmm.
What's he teaching me?
Go to
There's
God.
Nothing past what God can handle. There's nothing beyond. You have not got a problem so big that the blood of the Lamb doesn't answer it. You don't have mm-hmm. as bad. It is that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is that bad.
That
You're not just lost. You're dead. Mm-hmm. You're not just lost. It's hopeless. You're an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
But the blood of the Lamb is what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to receive forgiveness. We're here to receive atonement. Right? And the mm-hmm. righteousness that God offers through Jesus Christ. This is a picture of what Jesus will be. But I'm just saying, he doesn't hide saying, obviously nothing's that bad because, you know, I'm a believer in God. He says, the reason I'm here is because it's that bad.
It kind of went like it did in Sunday school this morning. Remember, Jesus says his yoke is easy, but he doesn't say that your life will always be easy. He doesn't say that all the things come up roses and unicorns. You don't just breeze through. Sometimes you have to deal with things, mistakes, errors, death, sin. You have to deal with those things. But his yoke is easy. The easy part is I can go to you. I can turn to God and say, here, I don't even know what to do with this. I don't even know how to let you know how terrible this is. Sometimes, and I don't know if you've ever done that, but sometimes your feelings are so deep and so raw and so hurtful, you don't even know how to pray about that.
I've absolutely done that.
And then when you don't even know how to pray about that, it says the Holy Spirit knows what you need and it'll pray for you because it does know how to answer.
There's a place, and I think it's, is it 24, 25, and 26? It's something like that, Psalm 24, 25, and 26, that are all prophetic psalms David wrote about Jesus on the cross. Might be the wrong. 22. Is it 22, 23, 24?
24, I think.
There's like three in a row that are all, this is what the cross is like. This is a picture, portrait of Christ. I wish I had written that down because I wasn't thinking about talking about this. But I always think, I love that it hides nothing about how he's feeling. This is the Son of God on the cross, but in a human flesh. And it says, it's like bulls are surrounding me, goring me with their horns. It's like they're gnashing on me with their teeth. Their words are hurting me.
I am a worm. He says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of all people. They laugh at me. They laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head. And they say, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now. I mean, you just, you know.
Makes you twist inside for the Lord because you feel that. None of it is not okay to bring before God and say, this is how I feel. This is why I'm here. God, I need you.
22, right? 23, and 24 do that.
None of it is prohibited from
and
coming
before God. And then 23 is right after that. I mean, he even says, I can tell all my bones. They part my garments.
What's that mean? I can feel it all. Everything hurts.
I'm poured out like water. I'm broken. I mean, and then 23,
the Lord is my shepherd.
You know, it's like, that's an odd trilogy, right? I mean, that's not what you would expect.
It is the one, right? It is the truth. When Christ says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, I love that the truth means nothing's hidden. And Junior quotes it, Junior Endicott, who's wonderful. He quotes it almost every Sunday school we're in. We do not serve a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. In all ways was tempted like unto us, and yet without sin. I mean, he knows exactly. This is about your Lord and Savior feeling what Asaph felt.
And
feeling what same Haman thing. Felt, feeling what David felt, feeling those emotions that we feel when there is no answer but the blood of Christ, but the Father's love, but grace and mercy. This is not something Christ can't relate to. He felt what you feel.
And then I think it's, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me. I will declare thy name unto, and then in 23, the last line is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then in verse 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, is how 24 ends. So that's kind of in
not
next
without
week's
hope.
Lessons, right?
But not without hope. Yet he feels everything you feel. He's known what you went through.
I put my trust in you.
He's been overwhelmed. The Lord and Savior has been overwhelmed, and yet he accomplished what it took to fix it all and to unite us with the Father forever. I think that's wonderful.
I think it is too.
As you go through, like I said, 24 and 25 aren't really chapters that you
draw
read.
You
what they tell me why they're important. These are the songwriters of the Book of Psalms. These are the men who served in the temple of the Lord. Ezra is telling the new comers back to Jerusalem after captivity, here's the heritage of your family and of your faith. These are the men whose shadows you walk in and whose footsteps you tread. The greatness of these, the greatness that came from surrendered lives to God, in service to God, look what they were able to write, look what they were able to do. This is whose footsteps you're following. It matters. Right? It matters it that they're recorded. Matters. What I think is amazing is we start this book. We're getting close to the end of the book of First Chronicles. When we start the book, it's a list of these are the men who fought with me in good times and bad, who stood beside me in persecution and exile and trouble. These are the warriors. And we're ending with equally important.
The singers.
These are the praisers.
These are the ones.
And David has respect for both of those. It's not, yeah, we need warriors. Singers are irrelevant. These guys, Solomon, are super important because as you build your temple, the temple that you're building for God, not your temple, we call it Solomon's temple, God's temple. When you build this, not only do you need the riches and the treasures and the plan from and the wisdom from God himself, you need these men who will touch the hearts of the people and inspire their hearts toward God and lead them in praise, prophesy with their talents, the word of God
show
to these people, show you what
you.
It's like and why you're here and why it matters.
And you need the people who keep up the temple, who make sure it's in order, make sure
equal
it's clean,
importance
make
and
sure
time
it's
given,
strong.
Right?
Sure, yeah. There's nothing.
To the warriors.
There is no big me, little you. They're all in this together.
And,
right?
And
this family heritage is all about keeping the gospel there. Keeping
one's not
Christ
greater
there.
Than the other.
But they're all important.
They're all important. Right?
I agree. I think we are out of time.
I have so much more.
Hit your high part.
I don't know.
How much time do we got left,
it's
Kate?
It's okay.
We're at an hour. Well, we'll save that because we've got to come back and finish 25, 26.
Heman was also David's seer.
Yep, he was.
He sat that beside David and gave him good, wise advice.
Yep.
I don't know what else I want to tell you, but I'm glad that both are held in esteem and both are held in importance. I think that we get the idea that praise is okay. Here's the thing. I'm just going to say it out loud. Okay. More churches are split over how we praise. The melody
else.
Of our songs, the style of our music, the who sang too long, who sang too short, we shouldn't let that guy up there, this guy shouldn't be up there for this reason, this guy has this sin in his past, this guy did.
He has no talent.
Here's what the example says. The entire family gets to praise. The entire family gets to praise. And the entire family, when it praises, and I'm talking about the Levites, but that's us in the New Testament, right? We are we are made priests, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. It says in the New Testament. When we get our turn to praise, it ain't about us. It isn't about bringing praise and glory and honor to how wonderfully talented we are. No. It is always to bring the people the word of God and to raise them up to see him a little bit better by an example. To use our gifts and talents the way God intended us to use them. And we're not supposed to, this isn't a place to divide. That's what Satan always is about, is like, let's tear up a church over music. Let's tear up a church over who gets to sing. You're being used by Satan if you're doing that. I'm trying to be as kind but yet blunt as I can. If you're not going to church because you don't like the style of music, stop it. Stop it. And go sing your style of music.
Yeah.
Quit it.
Yeah.
And as long as your music is uplifting God and it's drawing people to see Christ and showing them Jesus Christ, it's welcome. Right? It's welcome here. Old, new, middle, skilled. And it says in there, the verses, verse 7 and 8, if you want to get it in 25, the teachers and the students, those who are really, really good and those who are just learning along, make room.
Make room.
And let them praise the Lord and let them do the job in the temple. We're one family.
If we could stay away
and we
from
need to
that
praise.
Cardinal sin of humanity.
They didn't ask me to sing. I'm not coming.
Yep. And I don't like it when they sing. They sing
well,
every
maybe
time
it's
they're
not
there.
Your season. Maybe it's another season for a minute and you're going to sing later on when they get tired. But what you need to do is make sure you know who you're singing about and who you're singing to. And what the purpose of it is. And I wrote all of it down. What the purpose of it is. You have a purpose. He gives them in those two chapters. This is why you're doing it.
It has nothing to do with
and
you.
And it isn't about us. Which we say a lot.
Well, we do say that a lot. But we have to say that a lot. Because it is in our human nature to make it about me. It's about I'm not happy. We don't suffer anything. Very well, right? We don't put people ahead of ourselves very well. We don't we don't tolerate things very well that don't just make us happy. You know, we have become a society that if it doesn't make me happy, I ain't doing it. And that is absolutely contrary. Mm-hmm. Because God is, he has got the ultimate make you happy, right? And you've got to teach yourself. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to stop making it about you and see it for what it is and make it about God.
Can we close this with just a couple verses from Psalm 92?
Yes, yes.
This great song book that we're talking about composing, okay? Mm-hmm. Psalm 92. And this is a psalm, it says at the top of it, for the Sabbath day. So this is for worship days, for Sunday, now. Mm-hmm. This is the first day of the week. This is when we worship the Lord. We worship the Lord always, but in community. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Makes me think they had church service twice, maybe. I don't know. Just kidding. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. I'm going to stop right there, and I want to go on. But what he's... Oh, what an honor. Oh, what a joy. What a privilege to tell people how great you are. Mm-hmm. And it ought to be the color of the entire family.
And I don't think there's any better way to end this than that. We started with the color of the family. That's mm-hmm. what the color of the family should be. Thank you for joining us. We hopefully will be here next week. No, we won't be next week. We'll probably be here on Sunday next week because we have some events going on the Saturday. So keep your Bibles open. Stay battle ready. It is a battle. Stay in the battle.